Janae, thank you for that good song this morning. It's specifically for dedication this morning. Ovi and Jermaine are going to come at this time and we're going to dedicate their young one. I don't know how many of you have seen the spelling of her name. I think the pronunciation is Shunadine. I think I'm real close there. But it doesn't look like that. So you just have to cross out what it looks like and just say what Jermaine says. Had some technology going on yesterday. I had her send me a verbal text so that I could hear her say it. Step right on up here. Don't be afraid of me. It's always wonderful to dedicate a child. It's always wonderful to have children coming around. Even though Najoni used to like me, she doesn't care much for me anymore. So I thought maybe when she liked me, she didn't like Adaliah. So I was thinking this morning that maybe I should ask if Shunadine likes her, because if she does, then she won't like me holding her this morning either. But we'll just have to see. Children are a blessing. We find that in Scripture. We find that a reality in life. Thank God for them. Quite often at dedications, we think about Hannah dedicating Samuel. And we notice, it doesn't take us long to notice that Hannah only did that with one child. She dedicated her first child. The rest of them, I'm sure she dedicated, but they were on a different level, different circumstance and situation. And we can write it off and say, you know, well, Hannah only did that to one. That was a one-time thing. We don't need to do that. One of the things that I do notice about Hannah and Samuel, I also find in a previous story in the Old Testament, and that is with Jochebed and Moses. The two key elements in those two stories, those two young boys' lives, was that mom, possibly even in the Old Testament, we can bring in the dad as well, but both of these young boys had an incredible early life of instruction, so that when they went out, they both had to go out into ungodly situations. But when they both went out to serve God. Samuel growing up in the temple, we think, well, that must have been great. That was surely like growing up in a revival setting. But we know, as you read the story, that it wasn't for Samuel. He had some incredible bad influences around him. Moses had some incredible bad influences around him, but that they both grew up to serve the Lord. So when we read in the book of Deuteronomy, as I often do at these dedications, we read it there that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with our whole being, and in the process of that, we are to teach the words of God to our children. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 24 here in just a little bit. But Joshua boldly proclaims in that chapter that as for himself, for his family, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is not done without training, without teaching, without giving. And so as parents coming this morning, Tovi and Jermaine, you must first of all present yourselves before you can present Shunadine before the Lord and make a commitment again to her upbringing. There's no higher calling for parents than to train up a child in the way that they should go. So we need to understand that afresh and anew. Even though you have understood that in past, Shunadine needs to have that establishment in your heart as well. Because there's no greater successful application that Shunadine will learn in life than what she will learn from you, as learning the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, and to follow after Him with her whole heart. You have to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being in order for her to follow in that as well. And that goes for the siblings. Joni doesn't understand it yet, but Tristan and Paris, you have a tremendous responsibility in sharing with this as well. And as you, Tovey and Jermaine, love the siblings of Shana Dean, that's also representing and showing the example that God has. So as you come before God and this people this morning, you are declaring and committing yourselves, dedicating yourselves and Shana Dean to the Lord. Is that correct? We cannot dedicate our little ones unless we are committed to the talk or to the task, to the task of dedicating ourselves. So I'm going to ask you four questions this morning of commitment to the task. Do you today recognize that this child is the gift of God and give thanks to God for His blessing? Do you now dedicate your child to the Lord who gave her to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon her life in the hope that she will one day or even now be completely belong to God? Number three, do you pledge as parents that with God's help you will bring Shana Dean up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God and the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord into her life? Finally, do you promise with God's help to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Shana Dean will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of her sins and for the fulfillment of all of God's promises to her, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and to obey His teachings? Once again, church, we have a responsibility here. Though we've heard it repeatedly, we must be reminded as well repeatedly that it is our responsibility as the body of Christ, and the responsibility is ours to teach the gospel story to the younger generations. One of the things that I notice in the Old Testament is the very last thing, the very last big item that the Israelites did in Egypt before they left to go out into the wilderness and on their way to Canaan land, was they celebrated the initial Passover. And in that first initial Passover, it is said that they are to do that every year at the same time. And the main reason, perhaps the only reason for them to do it every year following, was for the sake of their children. So that their children would ask and that they would have opportunity to answer. Church, that's part of our responsibility, is to continue to teach the children not some newfangled thing, but the old stories of the Scripture, and show how God answered prayer and God met needs and God blessed. Church, it's our responsibility to carry on and tell it to the next generations just as much as it is for mom and dad. We as a church must commit and understand that responsibility is ours for Shana Dean to make it to heaven. That we carry that responsibility. That we should do everything that we can to help Tovey and Jermaine train her up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach her the ways of the Lord so that one day she will come very early in age to the knowledge of salvation through Christ. It's our responsibility, church, to make it easy for her to get to heaven and hard for her to go to hell. May God help us. Those that would agree to that, would you say amen? It's my turn. You bow your head in prayer with me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the life of another baby. Thank you, Father, for this precious little girl that's come into the Black Calf home. Bless them with joy. As they endeavor looking forward to raise her, I ask that you would give them the help and the wisdom, the strength, the courage that they need to stand for her and teach her. Praying always that she would serve Jesus Christ. Today they've come to present her to you, giving back in a sense what you have blessed their home with, asking for your divine favor in her life, and I pray that you would build a hedge about her today. I pray, Lord, that you would give her strength in the midst of all that would come her way, and I pray that you would anoint her mind. I pray that you would protect her from the onslaught of the enemy. And I pray that you would bless her hands and her feet, that they would always do what you would have them to do, that they would be a blessing to those around and to the kingdom of God. Father, early on, that the Holy Spirit would speak to Shenadine's heart and bring her to that knowledge of salvation. Bring her to that point that she will know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior to walk in your way. Today, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we dedicate Shenadine Irene Black Calf to you, to your glory, for your cause, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. I ask, Father, that you would guide Tovey and Jermaine as they instruct her and teach her in your ways, in your wisdom, and in the fear of the Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. She's got her hands full. Bless you, Toby. What's your name? You all happy about the baby? What a delight for pastor to dedicate a child. Joshua chapter 24 for just a few moments this morning. Joshua is coming down to the end of the road, as it were, coming to the end of his life. He is ready to step aside. But it would appear that Joshua has some grave concerns. It would appear that Joshua has some difficult thoughts going through his mind. I suppose that if you stop and you read this chapter, this whole chapter, and then just stop and think about it. Slowly reread verse by verse or scattering of the verses at different points. And try to put yourself in Joshua's place. Joshua has lived a full life. He's seen an awful lot. He's had the privilege of being in the presence of God with Moses, when nobody else was around, just Moses and Joshua. He saw how quickly and how easily it was for the children of Israel to depart from God. In their mind, if not in reality, we know that they never went back to Egypt again as such, but in their mind, quite often they reverted back to Egypt. Over and over again, we find in their wanderings at different points that they had a longing in their heart for the things of Egypt. Maybe it was the comfort that was there. They would forget that comfort that they were seeking was surrounded and overwhelmed by slavery. But what they were longing for was the daily knowledge that life was going to just continue as it were, as it was, and there wasn't going to be any major changes. They wouldn't have to be fighting big battles. It was routine. They longed for the comforts that came with that. They longed for the foods. They longed for the drink. They longed for so many things that were in Egypt. Not only do we find them longing for the things of Egypt, but over and over again we find them returning to the gods of Egypt. Not just before or this particular instance, but often after, we see that the Israelites forgot God and went after strange gods or the gods of the people around. So we come down to Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him with sincerity and in truth." And notice what he says here in the next phrase. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt serve ye the Lord." It may not be significant right there necessarily, but it's just simply something to bring out that this was a specific point that Joshua was saying God was telling them, God was requiring of them. And then he presents the choice, and it's a choice for you and I on a daily basis as well. Not something just once in a while when the preacher preaches on it, or not just once in a while when you read this passage, but it's a daily choice. He said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve." And so he presents the options. You can choose and serve the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, or you can serve God. "But as for me and my house, that's who we're serving. We're going to serve God," he said. And the people answered him. What could they answer him? Oh, I mean, really? What could they answer at this point? They knew who God was. They knew who God, the real God was. They understood what Joshua was saying. So it was easy for them at this moment. It was an emotional time in their lives, and it was easy for them at this moment to respond this way. "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." I wish I could diminish their response as much as possible here. You say, "Well, that's kind of absurd, isn't it?" Well, just stop and think. How many times did they not do this? How many times did they go against this bold proclamation? How many times did they go against and serve these other gods that they were saying right now that they would? It was absurd for us to think about. God forbid that we should turn our back on Him and forsake the Lord, but and to serve other gods. "For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." It's a bold proclamation. Joshua brings it down to a very serious point for them, though. And I think that this adds some credence to me saying that it would be nice if I could diminish their bold statement here as much as possible, because it seems as though Joshua may have taken it as a grain of salt as well, because we find now in 19, Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord. For He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. It was a bold statement here. It was a strong statement here. It was an attempt to bring them to the realities of what life was all about. That it wasn't just a temporal decision or a momentary decision or an up and down decision, but it was a constant, it was a steady, it was an ongoing declaration. It wasn't something that you could serve God today and then serve the devils tomorrow and then serve God today and go back and serve the others tomorrow. And back and forth. God was a jealous God. God was a holy God, and he was requiring consistent devotion, a holy life. The people responded that the Lord God is who they would serve, and his voice is who they would obey. That goes for us today. A daily choice, a consistent living, constant walking before him. I wish I had all the keys to unlock the doors in child rearing. I wish I had the keys to understand all the different personalities of children. Because what works with one may not work with the other. It takes a lot of wisdom raising our children. Somebody came up with some resolutions for parents that I want to share this morning. That I want this to be an addendum to the story of Joshua and the thoughts about Hannah and Samuel, as well as Jochebed and Moses. I want this to be an attachment to those, because it seems as though, it really seems as though, that Hannah trained Samuel so intensely and so carefully that when she went to Eli's house, to the house of God, that even though he was surrounded by influences of sin, Samuel had an ear, developed an ear for God's voice. It had to have begun at the knee of his mother, along with Moses. You say, well, wait a minute, Samuel strayed and his children didn't follow. Let's look at Samuel. Samuel was a mighty man, God, for many years. His life. Moses, yes, he had his problems as well. But there was a man who followed hard after God. It had to have begun at the knee of his mother. Not to say that dad doesn't have a responsibility, because dad does have a tremendous responsibility. As a matter of fact, dad may have the overwhelming responsibility in helping the mother do that work at her knee. Let me give you the resolution. Some of you have already heard these. Some of you have already read these. And it's possible even that you have made purchase. You've purchased these resolutions perhaps and have hung them in your homes. The resolution for men. I'm going to start with the men, okay? I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man, I'm sure you didn't have time to write all that down. It may not be recorded in your memory from that quick reading, but may God help us to be able to feel the reality and the importance of that and those resolutions to carry on in what God wants us to be. How about some resolutions for women? I do solemnly resolve before God to embrace my current season of life and live with a spirit of contentment. I will champion God's model for womanhood and teach it to my children. I will celebrate my God-given uniqueness and the distinctions He has placed in others. I will live as a woman answerable to God and faithfully committed to His word. I will seek to devote the best of myself to the primary roles God has entrusted to me. I will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and esteem others more highly than myself. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will not tolerate evil influences in myself or my home, but will embrace a life of purity. I will pursue justice, love mercy, and extend compassion toward others. I will be faithful to my husband and honor him in my conduct and in my conversation, and will aspire to be a suitable partner to help him reach his God-given potential. I will teach my children to love God and respect authority and live responsibly. I will cultivate a peaceful home where God's presence is sensed. I will make today's decisions with tomorrow's impact in mind and consider my current choices in light of future generations. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are surrounded nearly on every hand with influences that would try to destroy those resolutions. But by the help of God, as He has promised that He would be to us what we need Him to be, you and I can with confidence go out and fulfill those kinds of resolutions for the glory of God and for the advancement of His kingdom, for the salvation of our homes. Make it our personal prayer, whether it's spoken in word or whether it's thought in our mind or just simply practiced in our life. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Great responsibility, but you and I are up to the task with the help of the Holy Spirit. By God's divine touch and our daily waiting upon Him, seeking His face for wisdom and strength and help, you and I can accomplish what He wants us to accomplish and be a testimony to God's grace in all of our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Trust you have a good day. Look forward to gathering back again tonight. Regular services this evening. May God help us go in His strength, be what He would have us to be. Praise God. Brother Robert, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?